turn in your scriptures to John chapter 2 as they're leaving. John chapter 2. Just a mindset. The Lord is going to allow me to preach in Hebrews. Will be our next book, but for a while, it's not time yet. We'll start on Hebrews. I don't know when. But right now, I just want to think maybe a series over the next little bit about vertical living. Vertical living. And that's our keeping our focus on the vertical. Instead, it's very easy to get off on the horizontal, is it not, the world around us? But vertical living, and this morning I want us to think about the idea of dealing with a consumer mindset. Dealing with a consumer mindset. If you'll get that door for me, Lee. Dealing with a consumer mindset. And so I want us to think about John chapter 2. John chapter 2. This is early in Jesus' ministry. And so we'll be looking at 13 through 16. If you would, let's reverence God, the reading of God's Word, by standing to our feet. John chapter 2, 13 through 16. And so the Word of God says this. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep, and those who sold doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Let's pray. Father, for a few moments, I pray in Jesus' name, take your word and apply it to our life. May your word go forth. God, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Touch people's lives for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If I asked you this morning, I don't want you to answer this out loud, please, but why did you come to church this morning? I want you to think about that. Why did you come to church this morning? And it's not to ask the answer between you and the Lord, but just to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, why did we come? And here's the deal. I'm grateful for everyone that's here, everybody that's come. But also, maybe the best answer would be, why is it when you don't come? Why is it that when you don't come to church? Good questions. Why is it that I come? And then other times, is why is it when I don't come to church? What is it that keeps me out of church? Just want you to think about those things. I joke, and I've joked to Lee, and you've heard me say it, how if you're not careful, they'll do the South Fork Shuffle on you. What's the South Fork Shuffle? Everybody's ready to go, but then when it comes time, nobody shows up. And, you know, I joke about that, but really it's a shame if you think about it. Because we should be, as God's people, should be dependable. We should be, you know, here's the deal. We should be those people that are sold out to the Lord. And when we say we're going to do something, hey, and on Sunday morning, it's not even negotiable. Why would it be negotiable to come and worship the one true God? What is it? I want us to keep that because we're dealing with an idea of being a consumer, dealing with the consumer mindset. It's in all of us this morning, by the way. And Donnie, in the Sunday school lesson today, I just can't believe, I always get amazed at how the Sunday school lesson fits in with the sermon. Why should I get so amazed? God's good, isn't it? And he uses us in spite of ourselves, and everything comes together. And so we'll come back to that in a little bit. But I want us to think, you know, if we're not careful, we'll do church like, what does the church have to offer me? What is it that I'm getting from the church? Now, don't get me wrong. I hope that you are getting something. I hope you'll get something from this sermon. I hope we're encouraged. I hope when we come together, we're strengthened. But if our whole mindset is about what we're getting, that's a consumer. It's a consumer. And so I want you to know that America is full of consumerism. We're driven by consumerism. If you look at the advertisements, you look at everything on TV, if you look at life around us, it's driven by a consumer-minded society, is it not? And we don't realize it because it's just part of it if we're not careful. And the other thing is we can take that mindset into church, can we not? We're all guilty. I'm guilty. And so I want us to think today as we're looking at the Scripture that we'll understand that this is something that Jesus dealt with too. This is not something that's from the past, and we'll see that in our first point. But that it's actually been around for a long time. It's not something new. It's not just an American thing, but it's been around for a long time, and we'll see Jesus deal with that today. And I want us to see that as we're looking at our verses. I want us to look at three truths when it comes to dealing with the consumer mindset this morning. First, as we just said, it's not a new problem. It's not a new problem. Look at what it says in verses 13 and 14. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. So verse 1 says, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. We all know every year the Passover, in fact next week will be the Lord's Supper, we'll have communion. I thought, how relevant, it's so great to think about that, because we know that at that Passover, that final Passover, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. So next Sunday, be preparing for yourself. We'll do communion together, a special time. But this is the Passover, so they all went, they would go up three times a year. They would go over to Passover in the spring, they'd go to Pentecost and early summer, and then they would go to the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. You say, three times a year, and we talked about this Wednesday night as we were looking at the Psalms. Why would they do that? God had to constantly remind them that, listen, even though you'd been given a land, you're pilgrims. Man, you're sojourners. This is not your home. And that, I'm going to tell you, that's going to help us in our consumer mindset. This is not our home. We are pilgrims. Aren't you glad? We're pilgrims passing through, but this is not. Our final destination is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven forever together. With none of the mess that goes along with it. Not even this old self. I'll be delivered from myself. Praise God. To be with Jesus forever. We'll be perfect. You'll finally have a perfect pastor. But you won't till then, okay? So I don't want to disappoint you. But none of us are perfect in this room. None of us. And so we struggle. And so the Passover was a huge celebration. What was it a celebration of? God's deliverance from the children of Israel from Egypt. He delivered them. And so they would go up. And I really believe that this is, John records this at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The Synoptic Gospels, which would be Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Why are they called synoptic? Because they have so many things in common. They record this at the end of Jesus' ministry. I'm going to tell you, I believe it happened twice. I'm a believer. You study it out for yourself and see, but this happens right after his first miracle, at Cana, the wedding at Cana, and then it shows that he goes from Galilee up to Jerusalem for the Passover. I think it happened twice, and I believe this is early in his ministry, and John's recording this, the disciple that Jesus loved. He's recording this, and he's wanting us to get this picture of our Lord and Savior early in his earthly ministry and what he's up to. And so we see that that's this cleansing of the temple at the end, but also at the beginning. And John's recording that. So I believe in two cleansings. What does it say? Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, why would he go up? Well, Galilee was always, the land of the Jews is below sea level or sea level. And anytime you went up Jerusalem, you're talking 2,500, 2,600 feet. We're about at 33, 36 here. So he's a little below what we would have went, but we're going uphill. We're headed to Jerusalem. It was an ascent up to the city of God. The place to worship. And so we see that Jesus called anybody that was anybody is headed for Jerusalem for the Passover. You saw every male Jewish man over 12 years old had to go to Jerusalem. So that means, think about the pilgrimage. Anywhere in the world that you were, you had a road trip. You're headed to Jerusalem because it's the Passover. You had these certain feasts that's where you went. So Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem. He went up from Galilee. And so the Passover feast came together with a feast of unleavened bread, and so it would last about 7 days. So you're headed up to Jerusalem for a 7-day. It'd be kind of like your vacation, right? But so much more important. It's not vacation, you're going to worship. It was a time that you set apart to go up to God's house, but 7 days that you would be there spending time with the Lord. And people, think about everybody coming together. You get to see people that you had missed and for a while and all that. But it's how fitting for us to understand that, man, it's that time of Passover and Jesus would institute next week. And God's so good, the communion, the Lord's Supper. Verse 14, I want you to see what it says. Please read it. And he is found in the temple. Look, he found in the temple is what it says. Where did Jesus go? Where's Jesus at? He's headed up to Jerusalem, and he gets there. Where does he go? Church. He goes to church. Listen to this. He could have stayed at home and taught his disciples. Why? He's God. He could have stayed I mean, seriously, our mindset today, or here we go, let me give you this one. Oh, I minister all week. I'm involved with the ministry, and so I've worshiped all week. I really don't have to go to church. Show me scripture and verse for that, my friend. Hey, you know, I know because I worked for a parent church organization for years and still do some, and I know with that mindset, it's like, oh, I worship all week. I've ministered all week. I just want to go and rest and get. I don't want to give. It's not scripture and verse. Jesus died for the local church. Oh, the church universal. Yeah, you got it wrong. It's the local church. The church, the God, yes, he died for universal, but God has and loves the bride of Jesus Christ, the local body of Christ. And if you're not involved in that, you're missing out on what God's called us all to do. And so he's going up. Jesus is gone. Where does he go? Church. Don't miss that. You'll miss that if you're not careful. He went for a time of worship. And please understand, Jesus came to worship. That's what he was going for. And what does he walk into? Let me see. What does he walk into? I had to ask myself. I'll just be honest. When I'm studying this, I said, what if he walked in here? What would he walk into? Well, he has something to think about, isn't it? He comes to worship. What if Jesus walked in the door? What would he find? Would he really find true worship here? Would he find people set apart unto him? But when he walked in, look, what did he find? People everywhere. What are they selling? It says oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. He walked into a street bazaar is what it sounds like, don't it? The outer temple, the outer court of the temple, which is called the court of the Gentiles. And he walks in and he sees all this going on. It's a big street. It'd be like the Tide Festival on steroids, okay? Everybody out, just look, vendors, and they're selling and buying and doing all these things. We'll find out there's a little bit more to it than that. But can you imagine the noise? There's a couple million people would descend on at the Passover for these huge celebrations. Can you imagine the noise? Let me ask you this. Those of us that have, you guys that have farms and have animals, what about the smell? Hey. Ain't no use taking away from it, right? But it had to smell, did it not? There are animals there. They don't know no better. It had to smell and all this. Can you imagine people heckling and they're trying to get a good deal? All these things. These are going on. This is God's house. He's gone to worship and this is going on. And I want us to think about that. It should have been a place of reverence and respect for God and his holiness. Instead, it was a flea market. That's what it was. Jesus walked into holy ground, but what did he find? Listen to me and listen to me close. Sometimes the good old days ain't as good as we remember them. This is back in Jesus' day. Same problem. Why? Because the problem's us, humans. Same problem. It's nothing new. What does he find? Consumers. That's what he finds, consumers. What are they doing? Money, business, they're selling things. Same old problem. I had someone that tell my mom, church is just a business. God help us, that's all it is. Church is just a business like anything else, just like everything else. Why would they say such a thing? Is that the mindset? This is not a business. This is the house of God. We come here to worship. We come here as God's people that's been out in the world, and we got to clean the dust of the world off every now and then, do we not? And we got to come in here and worship and renew and focus on this God of heaven. That's why we come. It's not a business. It's not to be operated like a business. But you know what? We're consumers. That's why they would say such a statement. We're consumers, immersed in consumerism. You know what we are? Natural-born takers. That's what we are. We're natural-born takers. I'll give you an example. It's going to hurt. I love my Tar Heels. I know, it's funny. I love my Tar Heels. I'm a Tar Heel fan. Guess what? They forgot how to play football. And you know what? I ain't watching them. I ain't watched at the time. That's the truth. I will not watch them. And I got to thinking about me preaching this sermon. Why is that? Why will I not watch them? Because if you turn the record around from 1-7, it was 7-1. What would I be doing? Yeah, my Tar Heels are really tearing it up today. because we were winning. Why are we like that? And then when everybody goes losing, you don't even want to watch, do you? I ain't watching that. Why? Because it's all about us. It's all about fulfilling us. But because we're consumers. I'm guilty. When I go to Walmart, why I go to Walmart? To get. Save money, live better. Hey, we resonate with that, buddy. We be liking that, don't we? But you know what I've realized? I was at Walmart last night in West Jefferson. I knew better to go. Wait a minute, West Jefferson, this way. I knew better to go. Why didn't I go to Boone? Because in football games, all that's going on, and that would hurt me because I'd have to be in all that traffic and put all them people because it's all about me. Go to West Jefferson. And I pulled right up in front. I said, right beside of the handicap. I said, man, it don't get no better than this. Woo! Why? Because it's all about me. I go to Walmart. I go for me. I want you to know something. There's nobody else there for you. They're there for them. They're there to buy. They're there to buy a good bargain, to find a bargain. If we're not careful, most of us do church that way. We do. We try to find the best bargain. What's meeting my needs? What is it? That's how we do church if we're not very careful. It's not a new problem. But I want you to see this. It's born out of convenience, verse 14. Look what it says. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. Why was this going on in God's house? Let me ask you that. Why was it going on? Every opportunity was there based on how much money you had. What does it say? Oxen, man, if you were well off and most of the time, you'd want to show everybody that you're well off, so you just buy an oxen to sacrifice, right? Or, hey, if you wasn't doing so good, but you just middle income, you'd buy a sheep. If you was poor, couldn't afford either one of them, you'd get a dove. That's every opportunity, whatever money you had, they were selling. You had your little groups here. You knew where to go by your socioeconomic standing. You knew which corner you was going to go. They're buying and selling. And I guarantee you, listen, if you went out to these guys that were selling these oxen and sheep and these doves and you interviewed them and you asked them, what are you doing and why are you doing this? You know what? It would sound like, we're here to help the crowd. We're here to help them. Look at all these people that are coming in. Think about it. Most of the worshipers were doing a road trip like we talked about, right? They's traveling long distances. It's hard to bring your old sacrifice with you. Drag that animal along with you. That's hard. Plus, you had to take care of it. You couldn't be blemished, so they're probably riding instead of walking. Right? It's hard to do that. And remember, it had to be spotless, had to be perfect, right? Unblemished in any way. And it had to be verified. Had to be verified, had to be the right sacrifice. You know, and it had to be a year old. And most of people's like, was that born on the, was that born in July? Was that, here you are, you're scratching your head trying to remember how old the animal is. And so they're using this, had to be pure animals, hard to find, and don't forget a year old, and those are really hard to find. Now think about that. We offer this, here's these people you're interviewing, we offer this incredible service to make it easier to worship. These people are coming in, we're here for them. We want to make it easy. What does it sound like? Consumer. Consumerism, they're using the people's mindset. We're going to make it easy. But don't forget about the money changers. Oh, they have their little corner, right? It's going on. Click, 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 click. They're selling, man. It's the exchange, and it's going, and they're doing the exchange in the currency. Why? Because the Roman currency was no good in the temple. The Roman drachma was no good. It had to be Jewish money. And so they're exchanging it, and making, you know what, making worship so much easier. That's what they were about. So much that begins to help people disintegrates into self-interest and self-serving. What do you mean? If you study these scriptures out, what was going on? It wasn't that these guys that you were interviewing were there for the crowd, were trying to make it easier. You know what they were doing? A lot of the worshipers were bringing their own animals. What would happen? Well, let me inspect that. Ah, no good. Look, it's got a little spot on its belly. I'm serious. you study it out, they had a market going. They had a market going. Now, it couldn't verify. They were rejected. The pilgrims were trying their best to do the right thing. They were rejected. Always found something wrong to make their sale. Why? They had a market going. That's why Jesus said, you're making it a den of thieves in the other gospels. High price, too. They had a corner on the market. We all understand this. You ever went to Disneyland? How about Carowinds? Yeah, you've been to Carowinds, haven't you? You go to get a hamburger. How much is that going to cost you, right? There's no value menus at Carowinds or Disneyland. $8 for a hamburger? That's without fries. I'm serious. You'll end up spending $15 on yourself for a drink, a fry, and a hamburger. Why is that? Got a corner on the market. They got you, man. If you don't pack it in, they got you. Same way here. God's house should have been a place of holiness. Should have been a place that they were helping the worshipers, but they had made it into a flea market. Made it into, hey, we got a corner on the market. The priests were in on all this. Hey, you reject those animals. We'll just sell them our animals, and guess I guarantee you they were at a top-notch price, too. The money changers, it says, recorded that they were charging as much as 12.5% to change the currency. It was a ripoff at church. They were getting ripped off. Jesus comes in. He's gone to worship. And what does he see? A big ripoff. And people that calling this is worship. And because of the consumerism that was going on right there. Oh, it started off good, but it became an impediment to worship. They weren't there to worship. They were there to make money. How do we convenience the worship? We try to make it, listen, we try to make it as easy as we can, don't we? Because why? It's all about us. Oh, we'll even put pew Bibles in the back of your seat so you don't have to bring your Bible. Yeah, think about it. Why do I need to bring the Bible? I'm in the pew Bible right there. I don't have to bring my Bible. I don't have to carry God's Word with me. All kinds of ways, if you look around, it's that almost a pragmatic approach because we're consumers. Because it's about us. That's Walmart kind of thinking, not church thinking. And putting ourselves and convenience before obedience. That's consumer. I like the definition of consumerism, which I didn't read a while ago. But listen, the definition of consumer is one whose efforts are expended for personal benefits exclusively. That's a consumer. I don't know about you, but I see myself. One whose efforts are expended for personal benefits exclusively. Say, oh, we'd never be. We're not like that. Look at your life and be honest before the Lord. Well, you know what? Yeah, it's not a new problem. It's born out of convenience, but lastly, it angers the Lord. Look at verses 15 through 16. What does it say? When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Guess what we learn from these verses? It's not about what we think, is it? It matters what Jesus thinks. That's what matters. That's what matters this morning, 2017. What Jesus thinks. You know what he did? He found him some rope. Now, come on. I want you to think about this. I love this because it takes away from those effeminate Jesus. You know, the blue-eyed and he's all fair-skinned. And he was a man's man. Okay? How do I know that this morning? Let me tell you, when you take on a couple men that's doing business, and you know how men that's doing business are, and you take a whip and you take all 200 on at one time, that's a pretty good man, is it not? And I don't see nobody standing up against him either, do you? He drove them all out of the temple. Why did he do that? He's saying, this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. Listen, do you believe Jesus is angry here? Do you? Is it all right to be angry about something? Is Jesus sinning? No, he never sinned, did he? So So you can't say, well, everybody gets angry. Somebody gets angry, gets their dander up. People say, well, you're sinning, you're angry. The Scripture says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. So there is a time for anger. Our problem is that we don't know what to be at. We're angry about the wrong things often, are we not? Hurt feelings. Bad drivers on 194. I say, Lord, let them leaves come on off. Lord, I know they're beautiful, but dear Lord, if I have to get behind another, I won't say what tag. Okay, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Is that right? No. That's not right. That's about convenience again, because I'm always in a hurry. Preacher's got to get to town for something. Got to get back home. Guess what? It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. So be angry and sin not. You know, when then someone does something wicked or blasphemes the name of God, we're silent. We don't say a word, do we? But you let it inconvenience us, we'll be in a dander, in a hurry, and I want you to know that Jesus' anger is he's getting ready to affect a solution. He's got a solution in mind, and God wants something fixed when we see this. And righteous anger is needed sometimes to affect change, and when we're standing for what's right, it's all right to be angry. Listen, I see some things around here that sometimes is not right. We should be offended at how people misuse and mistreat God's place and God's house. And let me, it's going to fly in your face if you're I want everybody to love me this morning, and so I'm just going to be steamrolled over and let anybody do it just so somebody say, oh, what, I'm trying to hear, oh, you're not reaching your community, and when you're that way, talk to Jesus about this morning. Is he reaching them guys? He's taking a whip and driving them out of the temple? Huh? Say, he says, by this, all men will know that you have love for me if you have love for one another. Say, Jesus. And yet, we think, hey, we'll do whatever we can. Yes, we want to reach our community, but I'm going to tell you there's a time that you got righteous anger that you say, you know what, you stand for what's right. The truth, we see Jesus here, and he's standing for what's right, and he's angry, and he's got a whip, and he's driving them out of the temple. How's that for everybody loving you, brother and sister? How is that? You're not always going to be loved by everybody when you stand for what's right. But you, as long as you are standing on what's right in the name of Jesus, you go ahead and stand if everybody else don't. I get angry sometimes as your pastor. Who? You? I do. I'm sorry. Really not. You know what I get angry about? How in the world do we fluctuate 40 or 50 people a Sunday? Church attendance, convenience attendance is what that's called. You say, what are you talking about? It's convenience attendance. You just come when you want to. Worship should not fit around your schedule. Your schedule should fit around your church services. Boy, that's unheard of. Let me say that again. Worship should not fit around your schedule. Your schedule should fit around your church services. It's convenience is what it is. If someone at your house has to ask, are we going to church today, you're already failing. Okay, does anybody hear me? If somebody has to say, are we going to church today, you're already failing. Why? It's not optional. It's not an option. Everything else in life's an option. You can pick and choose, but when it comes to God's people, going to God's house to worship a holy God, that's not an option. Oh, there are going to be times I realize everybody goes to vacation, but if somebody's at your house having to say every week, we going to church today? You're failing. You better get it right. It's not a decision. We just go. Our kids never asked us that. This before as a pastor. Yeah. You mean you once went? Yes, sir. We were just like anybody else, and our kids never asked. In fact, our kids went to church 9 months before they was ever born. First week, toted them in a stroller. I didn't wait 6 months until all the germs are gone. I'm just being honest. Why? Because it wasn't an option. And Satan will use anything to keep you from God's house and from being with God's people. It's the truth. I'll tell you something else. is what is really fun is when somebody's critical that don't have participating. I've noticed that. Can I just be honest? Hey, I'm getting it all out today, all right? So you all right with that? I'm talking people that don't have come. They don't participate. They don't serve. And they don't give. And they're always critical, trying to tell you what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. You know what? Let me tell you what that's like. That's like your neighbor coming into your house and telling you how to run your family. Is it not? How many people would allow that? You've got to be involved. You've got to be a part of the church, of the body of Christ. We have to be involved. Why? We're doing life and death together. This is so important. We draw strength. Christ is coming soon. The world is going to hell all around us. And you know what it's all about? Our convenience. What solves the consumer mindset is we just move right to obedience. How does God feel about consumers in his house? Look at verse 16. Take these things away. Get out! Oh, but preacher, is that not what Jesus is saying? More important situation that's going on. It's not fluffing the crowd, but the glory of his Father and his house. That's what's going on, and that's why he's so upset. That's why he made him a whip and he drove him out. He said, don't do that here. Don't be a consumer. Be a giver. Why? I don't care how much you served in the past. I don't care what's went on. I don't care who's hurt you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Making much of Jesus in this short period of life that we have. And serving him, and giving to him. How do we know that if we're consumer Christians as we're finishing up? How do we know? Well, let me give you just a couple. We complain more than others. Might be a consumer Christian. How about this? And when you think the sermon is for everyone else, oh, brother so-and-so got it today. Hey, when you think the sermon is for somebody else, someone else, might be a consumer Christian. Listen to this. When you bought a Bible because the cover matched your favorite shoes, you might be a consumer Christian. It's the message of the cross that keeps consumerism out of the church. The cross. It has to be the center, elevating, honoring, worshiping Christ. That's how we keep the consumerism out. Why? It's not us. It's him. It's him. He's the only one that can change lives. He's the only one that can change hearts. He's the only one that can save our children. That can save us. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about Jesus, his cross, his resurrection, his coming again. He stepped out of heaven, out of the glories of heaven, stepped onto this earth, gave his life on a cross, died, was buried, but resurrected for you. He gave. He didn't come to take. In fact, the scripture says he didn't come to serve, but what? To give his life a ransom for many. That's our chief example. Applications and we'll be done. Linda, come and play, please. Number one, do you look at church as what you can get or what you can give? You look at church, it's what you can get or what you can give. Listen to number two. Are you a one-strike and you're out Christian? Let me explain that just a minute. Are you a one-strike, you're out Christian? People will come together for years and worship. We'll do life and death together, but somebody will do something wrong. One strike, I'm gone. Why? It's about you. How is that? If the church is full of imperfect people, me being the chiefest. Somebody's going to let you down. Jesus never will. Never. One strike, you're out. People go to church for years and gone. Number three, get ready. Is this sermon for you or everybody else? Let's stand on our feet. I'm not going to tarry long. truth be known, the Lord's already shown you in your own life if you've got consumerism or not. You know what? Can we change that? Yes, we can. We could just say, Lord, I don't want to be a consumer. Lord, I want to be a giver, not a taker. Why? Because that's what you did for me. How many of us owe Jesus a great gratitude because he saved us from a devil's hell? What is the Lord saying to you? If you realize this morning, you know what? I have never received Christ as my Savior. Guess what? You can receive him today. And don't you worry about what anybody's thinking around you. Do you realize this sermon is for you? It's for me. It's not for everybody else. What has God said to you today? Is there a time in your life you were serving him a lot more than you're serving now at your local church? And whatever's come in the way and you've said, make all kinds of excuses. What is it God said to you? Close your eyes before the Lord. Some have come. What about you? Who would be willing to say, you know what, Lord, I just want to come spend time. I'm not going to worry about what anybody's thinking. I need to come forward. I need to pray. Talk to the Lord. People are coming. What about you? Don't be disobedient. Obedience is the answer to consumer mindset. Obedience. Your first step away from yourself can be this morning. Say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. What about you? Or is there somebody here that don't know Christ as their Savior? There's never been a point in your life. Listen, it's not just this understanding with your mind, but there's a point that you come to in your life where you say, I'm a sinner. Christ died for me. I receive his salvation for me. Whoever your name might be, fill that in. If you've never come to that and asked God to forgive you, you need to be saved today. You can be saved right where you're at. You don't have to walk an aisle. Although walking an aisle shows God you're serious about it. But you can be saved right there. You can say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Jesus Christ, I'm receiving you and your punishment for my sin on that cross. Today, I'm asking you to come into my life. I'm returning away from myself. Turn into you. Help me to live for you. If you pray that prayer, the Bible says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Rest in that promise, not in your feeling. Whatever God's saying to you today, I'm going to give them just a few more minutes. Maybe it's for you. Amen. Guys, thank you, Linda. Got these cards are back on the desk. What are they? Fall Festival cards to give out. We're going to be able to mail that to everybody and Todd, but you can either, the best thing you can do is you say, hey, come and be with us this coming Saturday to be a part of our fall festival. Give those cards out. Got Operation Christmas Child boxes. You need to be taking them, filling them up. Listen, be much about, look around. A lot of pews are empty today. Where is everybody? Let them know that you missed them. It's a South Fork Shuffle. That's a shame. Nothing to be smirking or laughing about. We should be, what in the world, reaching and letting people know we love you, we missed you. Because when you're accountable, people know, hey, I'm going to be missed if I'm not there. It changes that consumer mindset. Whatever the Lord's saying to you. Lee, close us in prayer, if you would, buddy.